Lord. I'm just raising my voice up for a minute just to wake everybody up. Waking you up. You got coffee? Amen. I'll start out, you know, we'll see where this goes tonight, right? I was just thinking of, you know, this one time where me and Gina were counseling with this precious young lady. And she really needed a healing in her life. She needed a healing, all things going on in her life and struggling with alcohol and all kinds of things. And so we began to talk to her. And it was interesting. It was one of these things, as me and my wife were ministering to her, it was like the Lord was giving me insight. Because as we spoke to her, you know, she says, I'm desperately in need of healing. She says, I watch this certain thing every day about a different story on healing. And then I read these certain scriptures. And then I say these confessions out loud. And I've been doing this for years and years and years. And I realized after we were talking to her that all these things she had done, but yet she did not know the Lord. I mean, she might have been born again and had a profession, but she knew nothing about his character. Knew nothing about his deep love for her. But she knew all she says, if I could just get enough faith, if I see enough of these testimonies, if I will say these scriptures, you know, we these things that we can do, you know, by his stripes I'm healed. And we know these are all good scriptures. But I realized as we were speaking to her that all of this had just been a formula. Had been something that she didn't even have that. She didn't have that revelation. The Lord Jesus was not speaking to her. So she did all these things. I'm doing all these things. I know what all the right scriptures. I know he heals and all this. And I'm doing everything I need to do. But yet she says, I'm tired of pretending. I'm tired of pretending to go to church that I got all my act together. She says, I'm ready to give up. And I said, you know what? I think that's a great idea. Let's give up. Let's lay that all aside. You know, because, you know, God, you know, we talk about doing the will of God, hearing the voice of God, doing the will of God. And, you know, the danger I've come to realize as I remember that story, as that became so real to me, and as I read another scripture that just dawned on me, even through what Isaiah was saying, was Isaiah was writing and speaking, but it was Jesus. We'll see that. But I realized that, you know, I want to do the will of God. I want to do this and that. We can find ourselves trying to find a formula, trying to do a formula. Okay, I'm reading this much scripture. Nothing wrong with scripture. I can do this and be a part of this. And all this time doing these things to try to find the will of God. And I'm not saying some of these things aren't good. But you know what? I realize that I have been there myself, have known many people, talked to many people that do all this stuff, but really don't have a relationship with the Lord. They're not really hearing his voice. I think we've made it harder than it should be to hear his voice, to know his will, whatever that means. I mean, we can take that beyond, we can take that out into beyond what it really means. You know, doing the will of God, you know, for me, doing the will of God is enjoying the company of my wife, I believe. Me doing the will of God is enjoying the company of my family. And I know that's not all to life, but there was a time of religion I couldn't enjoy those things because religion always had me doing something. But doing the will of God, enjoying the will of God can be me in my living room laughing and enjoying the company of those I love, including you. I can hear his voice when I'm kicked back in my chair, looking out the window, looking at the horses across the street, then looking at the mountain scene there, just kicked back in my chair and just going, wow, God. And the Lord speaking to me. But in the past, I couldn't do it. I had to be on my knees in deep prayer. And once again, I'm not saying there's not a place for that, but I had to be involved in that in order to hear God. And see, religion always say, no, you've got to pay some kind of price in the flesh. Well, let me say this. He's paid the price ultimately. He's paid every price. Amen? He paid the price. He wants to speak to us more than we want to hear him. I mean, we're his children. I mean, he's the one that made the mouth. One mouth, two ears, right? He's the one that's made these tools we have for communicating. God loves talking to his children. You know, so the question has to be is, man, do I want to hear him? Do I want to hear his voice? You know, it's learning as I've grown in the Lord maturity, hearing his voice, reading some scriptures, you know, preparing in a scripture. I'll read that and like it'll just come alive and I'll say, thank you, Lord. Read it, you know, it might be just one scripture and I may chew on that for 2 or 3 days. In the past, I had to move right on from that and I had another regimen of time I had to spend in the Word and do all these. Who says that I can't take one scripture and chew on that for a week and not read anything else? If it's ministering to me, if it's blessing me, if I'm communicating with God. See, where does it say that you have to do this, this, and this in order to communicate with God? Some of the times that he communicates with me the most is when I'm out in the yard. Remember one time when I was, and I'll probably mention this Sunday as I talk a little bit about sowing and reaping, but I was working in the yard and seeing all these weeds I was having to deal with, and the Lord just spoke to my heart and said, you know, everything comes from a seed. That weed, that rosebush, that tree. As he, you know, so we can be in the middle of the most mundane things, you know, say, hey, here's an opportunity I want to take, the Spirit of God that lives in you and I anyway, that I want to show you something, teach you something, reveal something to you. He's always wanting to do that, saints. He's always wanting to have that type of relationship with us. And even though I know he heals the sick, he raises the dead, that's part of the demonstration of the power of God. But you know there's so much more to God than that. There's a part of it that says, you know, I just want to talk to you. I just want to chat with you. I just want you to have an open ear. And coming back to this, see, the church more than ever, we need to have ears to hear. Because once again, I'm saying deception runs rampant. So what I have done is I've realized that the only place that I know I'm going to get truth is through his word. Not in a militant way like I was talking about, but just saying, Lord, I want to hear your voice. I realize that I'm not going to hear truth unless it's a speaker. I'm not going to hear it for myself just on the internet. I'm not going to hear it just through a speaker, although that's good. You're listening to me tonight, right? But what it is Lord saying, hey, I want to speak to you directly. I don't have, a pastor does not, we have different giftings and whatever, but a pastor does not have any more direct line to God than anybody else. Hallelujah. Anybody else. But here's the question, do we want to hear? You know, when you start hearing little things from the Lord, he starts delighting the inner man. You start saying, that is more satisfying, more rewarding than anything else in the world. And although the church will do great exploits, there's still that part of God saying, hey, can we chat? Can I speak to you? See, there are a lot of people, I'm seeing a lot of people wanting to do this. God does great exploits, and he does things, but if that's the only thing people are pursuing, we got a lot of people, it's always been that way, that can pursue that, but are living in some deception as well. We're living in a day and age where we need to have an ear more than ever to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. We're living in a day and age of deception would try to sweep people away. I don't want to be a part of that. So where does it start? First thing is my heart saying, Lord, I don't want to be deceived. I have a fear of God in me in this way. Lord, I do not want to be deceived. I don't want to be believing things that don't matter or that could take me away from my love for you or that desire to fan the flame of what God's doing in my life. I don't want anything to get in the way. I want to hear your voice. And we all can hear his voice because every individual has the capacity to have the Spirit of God inside him. And if the Spirit of God is inside him, what's it for? Fellowship, exploits, God's moving, protecting us, his joy, the fruits of the Spirit. And then that one thing saying, I don't want you to be deceived in any way, shape, or form. See, some of our prayer, take some of our prayer time and say, Lord, I just want to hear you. I just want to hear from you. I just want to be able to relax and say, Lord, speak to me. I want to have ears to hear. See, that's the way it was for Jesus. Let me see if I can get going here. John 5. We're in session session 41. Is it 41? Okay. I was thinking it was 42. I was thinking, did I make a mistake? Well, okay. All right. 41 and still having fun. John chapter 5, verse 30. Do you love him? Don't you love his word? I can do nothing. This is Jesus talking. I can do nothing on my own. This is the Son of God saying this. As I hear, I judge. You know, to make proper judgments in today's world, we got to be able to hear. I don't trust my flesh making judgments, do you? I already found out I judge according to what's in the flesh. I judge according to what's best for Chad. As I can do nothing on my own, as I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous. Because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. You know, it's interesting because we read and see that as Jesus said, I can do nothing on my own. But in the natural, couldn't Jesus do all kinds of things? I mean, look at this world. I mean, look at the bridges that are built. Look at the engineering feats. Look at the skyscrapers. Look at everything that man's done that they can do without God. Look at the Tower of Babel. If God hadn't come down and confused the languages, look what man was able to do on his own. So Jesus is not talking about, I can do nothing. And he even says in John 15, without me you can do nothing. That's not what he's talking about, amen? What he's talking about, he's talking about judgment. You can't make proper judgments of right or wrong, good or evil, without the Father, without the Holy Spirit in your life. You can accomplish great things. There's people, what's that scripture says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world, but yet lose his soul? Man can accomplish many things. As a matter of fact, in the natural, man, in this world, in the world system, right? It's about what have you accomplished. You can even do great deeds of charity. You can accomplish many things. You can be very smart. You can be a mover and a shaker, but yet by the Spirit of God, in God's eye, he would say, you haven't accomplished anything. Wow. Once again, what's it mean to gain everything, to attain everything, but not know your Creator. Going back to that, every person, because of Adam, amen, born in sin, needing what? Needing to be born again, and then God giving you insight. What's it? When Jesus said, pray like this, he said, pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we know there's a will. We know there's a way, according to heaven, right? In heaven, everything operates in perfection, right? Everything operates in perfect love. That's the way God would want it to work here, right? But where does that work? It has to work here in the church. It's never going to happen in the world. So where would we see God's will and his perfection being done? In an imperfect body called the church. Wow. His will being done. Using the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Most of the world would see a video of us being here together and say, it's foolishness to their ears. It means nothing. But in God's sight, you and I being together, loving one another, fellowship one another, is precious and dear in his sight. Oh, precious is the fellowship of the saints, amen? Oh, how he loves when we operate in unity together, amen? Things like this are precious in his sight, the foolish things. If God hadn't changed your life, if the Holy Spirit wasn't living in you, where would you be right now? I wouldn't have the privilege to be here with you guys. I wouldn't have the honor and the privilege to be here with you. No telling where any of this would be. Some of us wouldn't even be alive, most likely. Some of us would be in more trouble. Some of us would be desperately just trying to find our way in a world that doesn't satisfy. Amen? So in the natural, we know things are not, he's not talking about things being done in the natural. And it says, my judgment is righteous. He says, as I hear, I judge. Why is his judgment righteous? Well, because he doesn't seek his own will. And so we know that our own will and our soul can cloud things, can't it? Thinking where Paul says, hey, look up. You know, if you can eat this meat, but if you have people that don't, if they think it's been sacrificed to another god and it causes offend them, don't eat it. And it's, and he says why? He says because they have weak consciences. Weak conscience. So sometimes in areas of our soul, did you know we can have a weak conscience? You know, coming out of religion and tradition for me was my conscience said, nope, you're headed the wrong direction. My weak conscience says, no, you're headed the wrong direction. But I had tried everything, like many of you, I tried everything to find peace and to find strength and to find the Lord working in my life. So something deeper said, well, you've tried everything else. What do you got to lose? Listen to this message of grace. But my conscience was weak. It says, get out of here. Get out of here. This is heresy. You need to get back to the works. You just need to figure out how to work harder. You've got to find that golden bullet. You've got to find that. You've got to, maybe you'll find the right man of God, or you'll come to the altar one time and boom, it'll happen and you'll be free. Chasing that. You know, year after year after year. You know, it was interesting. I know God can do powerful things in prayer, right? I mean, touch people. But I have to say that in the time that I've been here over 14 years, and I'm not saying this because I'm special. I'm telling you everything I've done, going to the front, you know, laying down for hours, fasting for days, doing all of these things to try to behavior modification. That I didn't ever, during the whole time that God radically changed me, I never came to the front once. I just sit there and listen to that message. And sometimes I had to hear it over and over and over again. Because it was amazing how a week could go by and I could, you know, because of the world system we live in, and I could convince myself somehow that well, maybe I need to do this, this, and this. And then I would hear that message again and it would realign me. I can't tell you how just listening to the message of truth absolutely radically changed my life. And I never came up front once. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying I had done that over and over and over again and been taught that's the key. I just said, I'm done. Lord, you either love me or you're going to change me or not. But I'm not doing anything else. But this is what I did. I believed. I started believing what I heard. And then I just began to change. Would I still have a bad day? Or bad mood for a week, yeah. But then I'd have my keister in that seat. I think that's French, isn't it, keister? So I'd be sitting in that seat, and I would just hear that message again. And as I began to hear that message of goodness and grace over and over again, and the fellowship of the saints, putting my facades down, I didn't have to pretend like I was anything. And then all of a sudden, it just began to change, and I'm still changing today. How about you, saints? I'm still changing day by day. He's still revealing his goodness day by day to me. He's still showing me how much he loves me. He's still showing me, saying, I've got so much more to show you. I've got so much more truth revealed to you. I've got so much more purpose. But it's just simply following and trusting me and saying, I have an ear to hear. Amen. It's no different than what Psalms 40, where all of a sudden David is saying, I got this revelation of what's going to take this guilt and condemnation away from me, and it's going to happen like in 14 years from now. But God showed me, he opened my ears. So my question to you is, your ear open to this, to the gospel message of God's grace and truth today? Because says that is the only thing that will change an individual. It's the only thing that will change an individual. Amen. And so, example of Jesus, he says, I'm going to do my Father's will. Did he have his own will? Yes, we know this. You know what Luke 22, 39 through 42 says. We'll read that together just as a reminder. And he came out and went and was his habit to the Mount of Olives. Jesus and the disciples followed him. Now, when he arrived at the place, he said to them, pray that you do not come into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Why would he say that? I mean, he's going to have the sin of the whole world upon his back. But I don't think the ideal of being beaten or hung on a cross is all that exciting, even to the flesh. Do you think? Isaiah 50, verse 6. You've heard this scripture, maybe Isaiah 50, verse 6. What Jesus would have to do, he said, I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pull out my beard. I did not hide my face from insults and spitting. So all that Jesus knew, he says, not my will, but your will be done. He knew from Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6, because that is talking to him. He knew what he was going to have to endure and submit to his Father, and he was going to have to do for you and I. Not just being hung on a cross, but taking those stripes on his back, having the hair plucked out of his beard, being spit upon, being mocked, and doing that. Why did he do that? Only because I did this. He says, not my will, but your will be done. And that's why it says, he goes into Philippians, said, because he endured such a thing, I have given him a name that is above every name. Amen? Above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Because he submitted to everything that I said that I wanted him to submit to. He, in everything I wanted him to do, he submitted to me and said, not my will, but your will be done. Because he had that heart, God says, I'm going to give you the ability to walk in my judgment because you hear me and I hear you. So when you judge, I know it's my heart, God's heart. Did you know you and I have that same heart as we walk with God and listen to God to make judgments? Did you know we live in a world you got to make judgments on what's right or wrong? The world says, no, you can't do that. You're going to be a bigot. You're going to be an evil person. If you make judgments, you're the one that's in the wrong. But you know, that is a flip. That's the lie of the enemy. You and I, as born-again Christians, with the Spirit of God, hearing him from the Word of God, hearing his voice, are called to make judgments. Amen. But Jesus was always willing to do good too, right? We're not talking about judgment saying, you and you are in big trouble. You and you aren't going to make it. You and you are going to hell. No, we're not talking about that, a judgment just like that. No, he had a heart too of, I'm willing to help people. Remember Matthew 8:1-3? So we're saying that, not my will, but your will be done. But look at his heart, which is the heart of the Father. When Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. And a man with leprosy came to him and bowed down before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out with his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Man, we got to look at his willingness, man. You and I being passed from death to life, not under the judgment of sin and death, amen, but children, beloved children, realizing he has a heart for us, providing for us, saying, Lord, I need you to help me. I need you to provide for me. He has a voice that comes back to you saying, I am willing. Amen. Lord, I'm struggling in this area. I need strength. I need your strength in what I'm dealing with today. In crying out to him, he has a heart that comes back to you with a voice that says, I am willing. Lord Jesus, I'm sick. I need my body healed. I can't do this anymore. Lord, I need your help. Just like he said to that leper, he has a heart that says, and the power that says, I am willing. Amen. So I've learned as I've grown with the Lord, coming out of judgment, out of condemnation, hearing more of his voice saying, I'm willing. Lord, I need help in this area. I'm willing. Lord, I need you to provide all my needs. I need your help in here. I'm willing. I'm willing. It's hearing him say those things. Lord, you know I'm praying for this family member and everything. Lord, I need you to save them. I need you to touch them, deliver them. I'm willing. That's his will. The will of the Father for you and I. The promises of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the promises of God are yes and amen. But, you know, not just knowing those promises by repeating them like a parrot. I mean, it dawned on me when this young gal was saying, I'm doing all of these things. It's just like a parrot. You know, hey, we want God to heal. I am healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. And it just becomes, it's not even a relationship anymore. It's like, if I can just get these things down, if I can get the regiment down, If I can just pray the right way, say the right things, somewhere I'll tap it, it'll happen. Man, I don't think that's the key at all. He's got a heart for you and I. He loves mankind. He has a heart that I continue to hear him and I hear his voice. Lord, I want to hear more about I'm willing. I want to understand that, Lord, that you're more than capable, willing. The timing sometimes of how things happen. I mean, he's outside of eternity. We've talked about it. We're in this block of time. So it's never fast enough for the flesh, is it? Never. Sometimes the microwave isn't fast enough. I mean, you ever put a cold, hard chicken pie in a microwave? It still says, it's taking forever. 5.5 minutes. You've done it. But we got to understand during this waiting, things that are going on in our lives, we got to know that his voice, he has a voice. I'm willing. Lord, not my will, but your will, meaning I want to hear you. I yield myself to you. I trust you. I belong to you. Lord, speak to me. The relationship he wants to have with us in hearing his voice. And then, you know, when we hear that and we have that heart, how much more effective is it going to be when we go lay hands on the sick? Because now it's out of relationship. It's not out of this regimen of, by his stripes, I'm healed. And I'm not saying those things are bad, but do you know what I'm talking about? Where it becomes all of a sudden, it just becomes another form of legalism. So how did Jesus become willing? Remember, I read those scriptures about him giving his cheeks to have them plucked out, but there's a few scriptures above that I want to read. So this is Jesus. It's Isaiah, but you'll see that this is Jesus speaking. The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples. It means he's given me the tongue that I've learned things. I'm looking at this. I've listened for you. You've been my heart's desire. This is Jesus speaking. So when he was a young boy, his heart's desire was to know his Father. Just like you and I, as we grow in him, our heart's desire as children of God is to know him more and more. Amen? That's what it is. It's, the Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples so that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He says, the things that I've learned through the word, the things that you show me, my Father, those things that I've learned, I'm helping bring healing and refreshing and sustaining to the weary that I'm dealing with as he was walking with mankind in Israel. He says, man, the things that you've revealed to me, I'm using those things to bring healing and sustenance and a word of encouragement to the weary. To sustain the weary one with a word. It says, he awakens me morning. So this is Jesus. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. Did you know Jesus was the Son of God? But he, right there, he says, as a disciple. What's it mean? He's just learning about his Lord. He says, morning by morning, I'm learning to hear you. And so when I read that, when I was reading that, I was thinking about it. So Lord, it's simple. Lord, I want to wake up in the morning and just say, Lord, I want to hear you. I want to know you. I want those things that are standing in the way between me and you, just reveal them and allow me just to cast them aside. It's that simple, saying, Lord, it says, he awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. Are your ears awakened, saints? Are you hearing him? Amen. My heart's desire is, if, as we speak, is that we just have a heart that says, Lord, awaken my ears. At this time, in this generation, in 2023, in the United States of America, everything that's going on around us, to have an ear saying, Lord, I want to hear you. In the morning, I want to hear you today. As I go to bed, Lord, I want to hear you tonight. Lord, as I'm relaxing with my family, Lord, you speak to me anytime. Even Jesus had that heart saying, Lord, open my ears. I want to hear you. Amen. And the Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. See, everything came against him, the lies of the enemy, the things that people would try to tell him when he's walking on the earth. You're not the Son of God. You're not the anointed one. You're not the one to come. He had to say, no, I'm not listening to that. I'm listening to the one who has my ear. You can lie to me, enemy. You can shut your mouth. You can blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like Charlie Brown, the teacher. Remember, whoop, whoop, whoop. You know that? Remember that? So that's what it sounds like, Satan. My ear is no longer, or for us, not for him, but he says, my ear is not open to the enemy. It's not open to the naysayers. It's not those that would slander me, but my ear is only open to the Holy Spirit who's speaking to me of my Father. And because I have that open ear, I know what the will of God is for my life. And he says, I'll walk it out. I'm able to say, not my will be done, but yours be done, because I have heard everything through the word of God of what you have for me. And then he says, how do we know it was Jesus? Because the next scripture, I gave my back to those who would strike me and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. And I did not hide my face from the insults and spitting. Those three scriptures above that was Jesus speaking prophetically through Isaiah before he ever came and landed on the earth. And then as he was growing up as a boy and as a man, he just tuned his ear to saying, I don't hear the voice of the enemy anymore. I don't hear the naysayers. I don't hear the slanderers. I only hear his voice. And because I only hear his voice, I can make crystal clear judgments, because I hear him clearly. And I'm telling you, saints, that's exactly what he wants for us. As it was for Jesus, so it is for you and I here on the earth. As it was for Jesus on earth, so it is for you and I. Hallelujah. How about you? I want to have an ear that's open, don't you? I want to hear what he's saying, what he's speaking to me through his word. And when he starts doing that, there's an excitement and hunger that begins to build in us that's outside of just our things of, hey, I need to do this because it's the right thing. I just go back to that. We say the scriptures because, as Pastor Lee used to say, it becomes cliche, right? We just say those things. I don't want to have that relationship. It's easy, amen? You're believing for healing. All of a sudden, if you're not careful, it just becomes, okay, I'm doing it. It doesn't become about a relationship anymore. Now it becomes, I got to say the right things, I've got to do this, I got to do that. It becomes a list of do's, and that is not a relationship. I want to be one that prays for the sick, that helps others out of relationship with an open ear. I believe you have an open ear. You wouldn't be here if you didn't want an open ear. Did you know that? You wouldn't be here if you did not want an open ear. So my thing is is, Lord, if we could just take a second and say, Lord, I want open ears. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear the truths of your love. Lord, help me to understand that your voice, so much of the time it's this, yeah, I'm willing. Be healed. Let me encourage you. Let me strengthen you. Lord, may we, if there's any areas in our lives where we're caught into the legalism or the different forms of things that we do, we put together the recipe, so to speak, of just saying the right things or reading these things because we know it's the right thing to do. Lord, we move out of doing things because we feel like it's the right thing to do and move into, Lord, we're already pleasing in your sight through faith. Lord, there's nothing we can do to make you pleased with us. So now it comes out of a relationship, I think of a perfect relationship between a son that wants to be with his father and a father that wants to be with his son. Not because they have to, because they want to. Because they want to be with one another. They enjoy each other's company. Lord, may we enjoy the company of the Holy Spirit. May we enjoy the company of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that we would enjoy the company of the Holy Spirit, the encourager, the strengthener. Father, thank you that in a day and an age where you want to reveal your goodness to your people. Lord, I think about when there were some people prophesying in the camp, and Joshua said, Moses, make them stop. And Moses said, I wish all of God's people were prophets. What he was saying, he says, I wish all of God's people heard his voice. Moses, being the meek man he was, he didn't say, go stop those guys. I'm the only one that can hear from God. No, Moses' heart was, oh, that all of God's people heard his voice. It hasn't changed. That's the same heart. God, Moses was faithful as a servant. Jesus was faithful as a son, it says in Hebrews. And so he has that same heart. Oh, that all of God's people would want to hear his voice. Amen. One more scripture here. An open ear allows the word to become alive. Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. You know this scripture. So I know I'm preaching to the choir here, right? For the word of God is living and active. Man, that means we hear it. That means it's alive. It means it has an effect. Amen? The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, even penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit. See, hearing his voice, not just reading a bunch of scriptures and trying to memorize it and somehow it'll have an effect. No, that's not how God wants it to work. He wants to be living and active in us. And then it separates the soul realm from the spirit man, your spirit, soul, and body. Then what it does is that area that we have a weak conscience, and many of us in areas of our lives have a weak conscience, when the word of God becomes alive, then we can discern between what is a weak conscience and what is really truth, meaning God, Jesus brought grace and truth. Then we know what's truth and what's coming for our soul realm that may not be truth. It may not be truth. It may be something that we've thought has been true for because we heard it in church. It was many. One of the biggest things that opened my eyes is for many decades in church, I just couldn't take communion because I could never behave. And so if you can't behave, Mr. Harris, you can't have communion. And so all the time, you know, I thought, let it pass. And maybe, you know, the guy, you know, one guy would take it and the next guy, he would pass. And so a lot of people would pass because they haven't behaved that week. And then the next time we had communion, if I felt like I had behaved, then I could partake, right? And then I just decided, you know, because this is what I was taught, and I had this fantastic idea. I'm going to read the scripture for myself. So that 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where it talks about it. So I started reading what it was talking about before it. And he was saying, hey, judge yourself, lest you be judged. Well, he was talking about what they were doing. They were in division. There was a division in the church. It was like a three-part church split. And there was people getting drunk together instead of sharing the Lord's meal. There was people trying to show off their spiritual giftings and ability to show who was in charge and who was boss. You know, who should be boss? And so Paul, before that he even gets to it, says, Lord, you're getting together. It's for worse. It's not better. He says, when you get together, it's actually producing death and not life. And if there's anything that I've learned through the Lord that the Lord does not like it's those or mentalities or false doctrines that produce death in his church. And so he says, judge yourself. He says, judge yourself. Which one of you is causing this problem? Which one of you is involved in this splitting up of the church? Which one of you guys for just getting drunk at the church, at the meals? Which one of you guys are not sharing with others? Which one of you is trying to prove how powerful you are spiritually? Judge yourself. And that's exactly what that scripture is talking about. It's not talking about if you examine yourself to make sure that you don't have any sin in your life. Are you kidding me? Which one of you has had a bad thought today or said something sharp or did something wrong? And so when I take communion, this is what I just say, Lord Jesus, thank you that you've washed all my sins away. I'm not wanting to walk in rebellion. I don't know about you. God knows that. And I say, and if you are struggling with sin, you need to remember his blood and his body more than ever. Instead of the opposite, pulling away from him, it says in Hebrews, in your time of need, come into the throne room of grace. Amen. It says, come to him when you're in your need, not to separate from him. Religion will always separate until you can get your flesh lined up. But when you're struggling, that's when we need to run into the throne room. Hallelujah. And lift up that cup and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for the shed blood on the cross that washes my sins away. And yes, I got to struggle in this area. Help me, because I'm not going to get victory over it unless you help me anyway. So give me the strength. And I remember that you were pierced on your side. Blood and water flowed from me. Amen. You had a crown of thorns put around your head so that I could have a mind that is clear and free of guilt and condemnation. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So in time, our time of need, come running to him. As we run to him, then he's able to take the living, active word of God and separate the soul and spirit so you can see who you are in Christ, and you can see the things that have been lied to you that are in your soul realm that keep you going in circle and doing the same things over and over and over again. It's not the spirit in you. It is the soul realm in you that does that if you're doing that. And the Spirit of God separating that and saying, let me show you this if you have an ear to hear. Amen. And both the joints and marrow, the very deepest part of man. Amen. Living inside of man. The marrow is the soft part that's alive. The outside, the bone, is the hard part. But the very depth of man, he knows about us. And it says, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Is anything as I've grown in his goodness and his grace and his mercy? Is it when I've been able to, when the enemy will come against me with condemnation, I'm able to say, stop. That's not coming into my soul. That's done. If there's something I need to repent of, I'll talk to my Father about that. But the condemnation, go back to hell. That spirit that tries to come against me, you don't have a place there anymore. You don't have a place in my life. You don't have a place in my marriage. You don't have a place in my home. And I declare it, you don't have a place in my children, in my family, on and on. Start declaring the truths of God so that at some point in their lives, they will have an ear to hear as well. Amen. Amen and amen. Can we stand up? We're beyond time. Aren't you glad that you have an ear to hear? Amen. There's so much deception out there. Man, I don't want to walk in any legalism. Amen. I know that the only thing that can change this country is Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm even learning I can't change elections, no matter how mad they make me. No matter what's going on, I'm finding out I can't do anything about it. But I know this, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We'll honor him, worship him, allow his peace and his mercy guide us. Amen. And tonight specifically, just like Jesus, when he says in the morning, I say, Lord, I want an ear to hear. I want to hear you today. Lord, I pray that your people would do that. Lord, I pray that those areas that are in our soul realm that are weak, or the weak conscience, that your spirit would show us those things that might hinder us. They're just not true. What we think about ourselves, what we think about others, whatever. Lord, I pray that you would reveal those things to us. We love you, we praise you, and we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. Do you love him? Amen. I love him too.